On behalf of Leinberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and welcome to Net Unrealized Appreciation. One of the most powerful individual income tax planning techniques available is net unrealized appreciation. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is this is only available to a small handful of your clients. Those clients that you represent that have appreciated employer securities in their pension plan, in their profit sharing plan. So let's take a look at some of the companies I've seen this with. Very large companies like Procter & Gamble, Kimberly-Clark, Coca-Cola, General Electric, ExxonMobil. So what we're looking at is, I started here in 1960, okay, or 1965, when I was 20 years old. I'm just now retiring at age 65. My basis in these securities, I have a $2 million pension plan, and my basis is only $100,000. So I have a $100,000 investment, $1.9 million of gain. If that was under the tax law, what I'm allowed to do is I am allowed to take the stock out of the plan, hold it in the palm of my hand, and only pay tax on the $100,000. Later, when I sell the stock, the other $1.9 million of gain is converted from what would have been ordinary income had I done an IRA rollover to $1.9 million of long-term capital gain. It's a very, very powerful planning technique. We call it, again, net unrealized appreciation. Under the law, if you look at 402 of the code, you're going to find unrealized appreciation. So if an employee has employer securities in his or her qualified plan, now with all these mergers, there are aggregation rules and they're generally very favorable to the taxpayer. He or she may be able to convert a portion of what normally would be ordinary income to long-term capital gain. Think of the arbitrage. For some taxpayers, you're cutting the rate from 35% down to 15%. So we need to be very cognizant of what we're doing. Even this year, there's still a 0% capital gains rate, which you can embrace for some of your clients. For many of our Procter & Gamble clients, they're looking at only paying Wisconsin tax. They can, between the way they've organized their income, is they're able to live on $70,000 or $80,000 a year, and they're paying virtually no federal tax. But to achieve favorable tax treatment, the plan distribution must be pursuant to a lump sum distribution. In other words, you have to meet the lump sum distribution test. You have to have a triggering event. A triggering event is on account of an employee's death. After the employee obtains age 59 and a half, on account of the employee's separation from service, after the employee has become disabled under the law. So these are, without a triggering event, you're not going to get lump sum treatment. Now let's say you represented somebody with $750,000 in their pension plan, or a profit sharing plan more appropriately. They have a basis of $150,000 and they have $600,000 of NUA. If they go ahead and they take the stock out of the plan, they're only going to pay income tax upfront, ordinary income, on $150,000. So let's assume they're 60 years old and they've done this. Now, the other $600,000 is going to be converted from ordinary income to long-term capital gain. If they had simply rolled that into an IRA, they would have $600,000 of long-term capital gain. But by doing it in a way where they take it out, hold it in their hand, that $600,000 is going to be long-term capital gain, not ordinary income. They just save $600,000 times, call it 15 or 20%. It's a lot of money, and what we're seeing is when you do this right, you're going to add another year or two to the longevity of someone's retirement. So we recognize ordinary income on the cost basis. Okay, so if my cost basis was that $150,000, I would have ordinary income of $150,000. Normally, it's not that high. That's 20%. Normally, what we're looking at, especially with Procter & Gamble, probably the company I know best, is the stock's at 60, and the basis is about 10% of that, or $6 a share. If the taxpayer is under 55 at the time of the distribution, the taxpayer also has to pay the 10% early distribution tax. Now, when you have a very low basis, that doesn't matter. As the basis creeps up higher, that becomes more important when you run the numbers to look at NUA. The difference between the fair market value at rollout and the cost basis is net unrealized appreciation. And NUA is not taxed at the time of the distribution, but rather when the stock is eventually sold. And NUA is taxed at the capital gains rate, in effect, for that taxpayer at that moment in time. sometimes 0%, sometimes 15%. Certain individuals, if they're old enough, now this is rare, they're also going to be able to get 10-year averaging and 20% capital gain treatment. The holding period. Let's say I take the stock out at $60 a share and I sell it the next day at $60 a share. All the gain is going to be long-term capital gain. Now, let's say I'm very fortunate. I take it out at $60 a share and it jumps to $75 a share 2 weeks later when I sell. That $15 of gain will be short-term capital gain. The post-distribution gain, that $15, $75 minus $60, is going to be short-term gain, but the original gain from my basis to my fair market value on the date of rollout will be long-term capital gain. That will be long-term capital gain. Now, at death, let's say a person dies in 2011, 2012. At death, the NUA amount does not receive a step-up in basis. However, the appreciation above the NUA amount does receive a step-up in basis. So the appreciation above the NUA amount will receive a step-up in basis. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler discussing net unrealized appreciation. Thank you for joining us.